it's
well,
totally
what is syphilis?
Different, though.
I don't
It's
even know
so,
the symptoms.
That's
the
one.
Syphilis was the one that gave people craziness or like Looney
Tunes.
Like
yeah.
they like lost okay. their marbles. Hitler had it. Mussolini had it. It really
Whoa.
Ran in like the dictatorship worlds for a
oh
while.
Oh my God, so that victims.
Cancel Culture Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of Cancel Culture, the podcast writers' room where a diverse group of Gen Z femme comedy writers create a funny, unoffensive joke about a topic that most might consider a no-fly zone in comedy, that even an old, white, cis man, aka my dad, can tell without getting canceled. Today's topic, jokes about STIs. That's right, we're gonna write a joke about STIs that a white dude can tell without sounding like an asshole. Why? To show
it's possible.
To show. What's an STI? What's an STI?
STIs, which the older people might know as STDs, even though I have never heard somebody my age really call it that, because we were taught STIs in high school, but
I
don't know.
In England, everyone says STD.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a fairly recent thing. When I was younger, it was STD, but now it's STI. It's sexually transmitted infection. It took us 5 minutes to get there, but it used to be a sexually transmitted disease.
Are they different than diseases? Like, is that like a...
So it's supposed to reduce the stigma, because like a disease has such a negative, like scary connotation,
terminal.
But yeah, right. But
terminal.
Only a few of them are.
And also what was taught to us was like disease also like inherently sounds permanent, where like a lot of them... are not permanent. Most of them, in fact, are not permanent. Most of them are very curable. So infection is more
accurate.
Scientifically.
Yeah, that's panicky.
Oh, so herpes is herpes, which is permanent.
Yeah.
Is an STD.
Well,
I still
don't think it's like, I don't know.
Also, something about disease is like the scale of pandemic, right? Like,
yeah,
well, now it is.
I know what you mean.
But
like 90% of the global population has herpes. Yeah. It's not a big deal, you know? All right, well, before we get too far down the rabbit hole, let's introduce the players.
Does that rabbit hole have herpes?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Maybe. You don't have herpes in a hole. It's around the hole. Anyway,
technically, it's in the blood, so...
I'm
right,
always
but you wouldn't
nervous
see
that
it.
I have, well, we'll get into this.
We'll get
so
into
I've
it in a second.
The whole time.
Okay. I'm Jamie. I strive to get STI testing at least every 6 months, because that's what you're supposed to do.
Oh,
right. Yes, if you're sexually active. Even when I'm celibate, I do, because I'm a paranoid person. And anytime I like have any sort of like, it could be like an itch on the tip of my finger or on like my knee, and I'm like, oh, I have a life-altering illness. So there was a span of time where I went to the gynecologist there was like 3 months where I went to the gynecologist probably like once a week. It was bad.
You are your mother's daughter.
It was really, really bad. But
is hypochondria genetic?
Maybe.
I think so.
It might be hereditary.
Anxiety sure is. So there's that.
Neuroticism.
But I have never... Is this a true statement that I'm about to say? I don't think I've ever had it. Not detected, at least. I've never tested positive for an STI.
You probably have like symptomless herpes. And
I did take chlamydia medication twice in my life, precautionarily. Is that the right term?
Yeah. As a precaution.
Yes, as a precaution, because it doesn't do anything to your body if you don't have it. And they say that if someone you know tests positive, you should just do it preemptively anyway, because it's
someone
not worth getting tested.
No.
If
someone
you know intimately.
Know.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's keep it trucking. Nat, who's next?
I've had just like a long journey with this, because at the beginning of my sexual career, let's call it, I am... Oh, I'm Sarah.
I think we knew, but yeah.
Yeah. I'm Sarah. I was just so nervous, deeply, deeply nervous of catching something.
Yeah.
And my roommate, maybe like the third time I slept with someone, he was someone who I thought was like the hottest guy in school. It was like the best experience of my life to that at that time. And basically people just heard, like, my roommates could hear Tara telling me, like, again and again, yelling from downstairs, like, you do not have HIV, like, again and again and again and again, because I was so genuinely anxious about it.
Yeah.
Do you think come to terms with things, and I recognize that nothing is the end of the world, and
yeah,
the chances are slim.
You can live with HIV. Yeah, you can live with HIV.
But at the time, it was like my it was a huge fear of mine. This is me being vulnerable.
Well, hello. My name is Elena. I'm from the Midwest. So to this day, I don't know if the clap is chlamydia or gonorrhea.
Gonorrhea.
Okay. I thought it was chlamydia.
Yeah. I feel like it's chlamydia. I go back and forth with this. This is it's like gonorrhea. What I talk about at parties all the time. I don't know what that colloquial phrase came from. And I'm still also not quite sure what the difference between gonorrhea and chlamydia is. Good news is I also get tested all the time. So it's fine. Haven't had it. Amazing. And I feel like there was, another anecdote. I have had a false positive for HIV before, which I was like, ready to like change my ways. Yeah. Which I guess is pretty common. False,
is it?
Yeah, it's pretty common.
Damn.
The test is so sensitive that it'll pick up.
So yeah, you just like had to get tested backstory. Again.
Pick up what? Don't you have to have HIV? You got
like the dreaded phone call. They called you and they told you because they called issue.
Yeah, it's like a big scary call and then they have you come in. But also I couldn't donate blood for like a certain period of time after that. I used to donate blood religiously. And then after that, I was like, fuck you guys. I'm not donating blood. But
what religion requires you to donate blood?
Vampirism. But yeah, so there you go. It happens. Brave. It was like really terrifying. I think I was like 16 too. So I knew nothing of what was going on. My mom had to go with me. No, I literally hadn't even had sex. So, but the thing is like HIV is not just that way. It's like, you know, when you get ears pierced at Claire's, like you might get
it. Oh my God. Imagine, do you think anyone's ever gone HIV from Claire's?
Statistically, probably.
I don't know. I'm just throwing Claire's under the bus.
Such a whore.
So, oh my God.
Anytime you're
Whoa! Way to perpetuate the stigma.
It could also be needles. Come on, Evan. Educate yourself.
I said Claire is a whore.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what if Claire
She's
was
running it through her needles.
Trying to break her? Yeah, what if well, she was trying
get
to break her
needles and then
Who
she
is her going? Let's get Claire on the show.
Yeah, we got to get Claire on the show.
You're gonna get Claire, and then Claire Michael is. Too from Michael's. And
shall we? Lastly, and certainly leastly, the man who I originally learned what herpes was from, my dear old dad, Evan Shapiro.
Wait a second. When was that?
What?
Do you want me to tell you?
Yes.
Okay, because you had a cold sore.
Uh huh.
And I was like, "What is that?" And you were like, "It's cold sore." And I was like, "Got it. Cool." And then like. In health class in like eighth grade, they were talking about STIs and they were like, yeah, herpes is this thing. And I was like, wait a second. And then I put two and two together and I was like, I think my dad has that.
Well, there are certain, like, there's like 10 different herpes, just like there's 10 different hepatitis.
So many different strains.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have.
You've had a wart, it's herpes. Like,
right. And that's, I actually got, when I was a kid, I had like warts all over my hands.
I thought a wart is HPV and herpes is a cold sore. Isn't a HPV? This is a thing
athlete's
about STDs.
Foot.
I think
sometimes
we're gonna come back to
you
this.
Can get...
No one knows what the fuck they are.
Okay, can I just say that
warts? Warts are caused by HPV, human papillomavirus.
Oh,
I'm not even reading that.
Was herpes is caused by herpes simplex virus (HSV). Warts are not a form of herpes.
Oh, there you go.
Okay,
so I apparently both have HPV and herpes, but I started getting cold sores when I was like in elementary school.
Right.
And I was not having sex in elementary school. Just
right.
That.
Well, that's the thing about some of these things. It's like they're not always transmitted sexually, but they're most commonly transmitted sexually. But then like, yeah, anyway, we need to unpack that. Why we all are so uneducated and misinformed.
Because
the health system in America, we've established, I think, through many episodes of this show, that
it's embarrassing. Actually,
can I do a different introduction? Because I just thought of a different anecdote that I prefer.
Or you could just
tell
the anecdote.
Me. It's just like, it's like, I'm not obsessed with the other one. I think it may have been quiet and now I can speak loudly and clearly and this one's funnier.
Just go for it.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Sarah. This story isn't about me related to STDs, but I have a friend, a boy, just to set the scene. He's kind of like a grandma's boy. And he, like, I think he had sex quite late in his life.
Okay.
And he found it really exciting. And eventually he got a girlfriend and he was so desperate to have sex with her. And she had HPV. Like, she knew that she had HPV and she warned him. So he got like the vaccine, because you can be vaccinated against HPV. I highly recommend everyone does that, because why not? But it takes, I believe, 10, like 5 to 10 days to settle in. And the boy wasn't willing to wait, so he had sex with
her. Couldn't wait. He waited how long? Wait,
literally, but yeah, down, bad, desperate. But he's a really nice boy.
He had never had sex
and now
before,
he definitely has HPV. I don't think he did sex before her. No, I think it was the V-call.
But HPV doesn't really affect men that much. It's
no,
kind of like,
no,
it well, was, like, and now sleeps in us. It sleeps in us. Yeah, so that
you mean incubates. Incubates.
Yeah, right.
This is alluding to one of the jokes that
I feel like Elena's just throwing her Yale degree in our faces.
Yeah.
Just over and
I was
over
pre-med
over
for such
over.
A long time. I thought I was gonna be a doctor for most of my life, but that's a story for a different day.
That's a low bar, Dad. But so the thing is, that is a common thread with a lot of sexually transmitted diseases, infections.
Men
are carriers with no symptoms.
Is anyone surprised?
And it's just it's just so unfair. Also, because like a lot of them, I think chlamydia
I mean,
and gonorrhea, but I'm
we should
positive,
be able to do something.
Okay, one positive that chlamydia does this, but I'm not sure about gonorrhea, that it can cause infertility. So I'm like, that just seems
not treated.
That just seems insane that like people don't,
I know.
It's so asymptomatic. That's what scares me the most. Like if it was symptomatic, I wouldn't be as worried about it because I'd be like, all right, I'll know. And then I can treat it.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do if I don't
just
know?
Keep getting your, well, that's the thing.
Stop
you have to like,
sex. Don't have sex anymore.
You just have to take a deep breath, right. Jamie, and keep going to get tested and get a pap every 3 years. And you'll
right.
stop
which
having
is
sex.
Why,
also like if, right. if you did abstinent. Develop, if you did develop like the scariest down the line, you know, like Sarah said, it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of your life. Like
no.
literally all of these things can be solved.
Yes.
But we like put so much.
We put a lot of
horror
fear.
And sensationally. Yeah. Like we sensationalize it so much that it's like, ugh! But it
to
will
the,
be-
I mean, I, we take it to the point where in popular culture, whatever woman has sex in a movie dies. Like if you go to a horror movie and a woman has sex, you
oh, that's
know
just
she's
the horror, horror in- industry.
That she's
yeah.
just dying
misogyny.
By the end of this movie.
Well, I feel like also just
I
like
feel like it's a metaphor for the whole
the '80s really like with the AIDS crisis, it really put the fear of everything into everybody. Like they
I
were
can't
like
there was a time
I,
before.
I mean, there let's transition.
I was having
to,
sex.
Wait,
I was having.
I do
want to
just
HIV.
Throw this in Evan's face again. I did write. Several papers on Reagan's policy for HIV at Yale. So,
well, let's take a look at a joke facts. Where they talk about this specifically. We
sounds
have
like a, sounds like a barrel of laughs. Can
I'm
I read?
Trying, Paul. For the record, I tried, Paul.
Oh, shut up, Paul.
Here's a clip by Eddie Murphy, yes. and I don't know what year it's from exactly.
This
somebody can look this. Yeah, I was gonna say it's during the 80s. It's during AIDS.
Oh no, it's probably a little later, 84.
Epidemic.
Yeah.
Epidemic.
When did the AIDS epidemic start? In 1980?
I think it's
about
yes,
about there.
Well, it was acknowledged by the government
right.
slightly.
Sure.
In the 90s,
and when
right?
did it when did cases start appearing? Probably like the late 70s, I think, right? No? 79?
I'm looking that up.
Fact check.
I don't know when the first case
is
was.
The
but
fact
I...
that the first one was from a monkey.
Started in the spread in the 70s.
Yes.
The chimpanzee version of the virus is called simian immunodeficiency virus. So HIV
okay, so yes.
in humans came from a type of chimpanzee in Central Africa. Yes.
Wow. Well,
that doesn't mean that somebody had sex with a monkey. Can
I
we just say that?
Are we sure though?
Yes. that's like a misconception and why also homophobia was so rampant, because they were like, oh, they're having sex with monkeys, which
yeah,
is like
it couldn't bad. Just be it couldn't they couldn't just be homosexual, they also had to be into bestiality, right? And, you know, they're so
and again deviant. Like this was like the thing where like people were scared to touch gay people.
That's why we have those things on the seats too, by the way, that like if you sat where someone had HIV you would get it. Like it was like heebie-jeebies, like people freaking out.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's like with the pandemic initially when no one understood how it worked.
Except you right. could you could talk to someone or touch a blanket and get COVID, which was the issue, because we had no fucking clue how it was being transmitted, and it was being transmitted on surfaces.
I still
and
don't
airborne.
Understand that. I didn't think it was transferred via surfaces.
It dies faster on surfaces, but it's not impossible to get it via surfaces.
All right. Well, here's the clip. Eddie Murphy. Can we skip to, I think, 424, Paul? There's a lot of homophobia before the joke starts. But
I feel
we're
like
that.
You're skipping. I feel like skipping the homophobia doesn't really give the full picture of the age.
There's
joke.
Still some homophobia included in
okay.
the cut.
Because there's a lot of homophobia.
There's a lot of homophobia before
like
it.
A ton of
like the F
Mr.
slur.
Mr. T and
Mr.
Yeah,
Impressions.
Ralph Cramming.
Gay sex jokes. There's a lot. But we're skipping over most of it just to get to the, you know, the root.
Kills people. It petrifies me because girls be hanging out with them. And one night they could be in the club having fun with their gay friend and give him a little kiss and go home with their AIDS on their lips. Go home with their husband, and like 5 years later, Mr. Johnson, you have AIDS. He goes, AIDS? But I'm not a homosexual. Sure, you're not a homosexual.
So yeah, a lot of homophobia mixed in with that. But okay. I think this it's hard to watch too, because I think like a lot of people's reaction to when they see jokes specifically by like super uber famous comedians like Eddie Murphy or somebody who's been around for a long time, their gut reaction is to be like, oh, well, it was a long time ago, or this is old. And my issue specifically with this is that even during that time, right, like this is like a super famous comedian getting on stage during the AIDS epidemic and perpetuating misconceptions, and that even if it is funny or it's a joke to the people listening, like you're then telling a crowd full of people whether or not they think it's true.
Yeah, let me put this in context for the world. He was the biggest star on the planet at that point. That comedy special was the biggest hit in comedy probably ever up until that point. And do we know what year that was? This is the early 80s. As young men, we all just quoted that fucking special verbatim. As I was watching the clip earlier today, I was like, I know these words before they come out. He does right before
this.
Were you
in high school?
I think this was in middle school at the time. He does this impression. He does this version of the Honeymooners having homosexual sex, Cramden getting fucked up the ass, and literally we all just repeated it verbatim. Like we walked around in middle school and at camp, like just spitting back the words.
You were a junior in high school.
Middle school,
right?
Yeah.
I like some fucked up shit in middle school.
Yeah, don't we all?
Isn't that rite of passage? Aren't we meant to enjoy this edgy, like terribleness?
Yeah, but
he planted
that homophobia and that idea that you could pass AIDS with a kiss into 100 million Americans' minds.
Like that's a lot of credit, because the government also sanctioned it. Like we have this hindsight fallacy, right? Where we're like,
but I don't know that I would have listened to the government. Like, I listened to Eddie Murphy.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right. He perpetuated. But also just like the entire context of everything happening in pop culture and politics at the time fucked up. Like it was called the gay disease. Like no one was rooting for this and trying to like help people. It was like, we have a problem with our virtue. This is a virtue disease. It's showing how people are so
punishment.
Awful.
There were a lot of people who walked around saying this is punishment.
Yes.
And these were religious leaders saying this is punishment for their lifestyles.
Well, right. It further caused the illness for all of the, exactly like Elena said, the like very tangible reasons of like the government not doing anything about it.
Yeah,
so there's that aspect. But then it's like, because of all the homophobia and all of the rhetoric around how you can get it, people and stigma, people wouldn't go get help at all.
Well, especially if
they were closeted, or if they just weren't gay in the first place.
Right. Or worse, this was also the opioid crisis.
Right.
So like people are sharing needles and also not
heroin. It was heroin back before we called it opioids, and now we called it heroin back then.
It was just heroin.
But it especially affected the Black community too, because the stigma was he was a huge hero in the Black community.
Yeah.
And to this day, Black gay men don't come out until much later. They refuse to get treatment. They refuse to get tested in many cases. It's really bad.
There are many resources though, if you're listening and you're scared. Yes.
Well,
especially in New York.
Magic Johnson got AIDS when?
What were you going to say, Sarah?
I just need the resources. Like, I need the resources.
To get tested?
No, just to understand more about all the symptoms and the things.
Yeah. Were your resources, girly girl?
But we're not. We got confused before.
We still are like, what's the
difference? We Googled, though.
No, yeah.
Well, Google. Here's the thing, too, is... There's so much misinformation still about it. I remember, this is funny. So I have a group of friends from college.
I hope so, because we haven't been very funny. So.
Well, serious. I like this to like say, for some reason, this is
the like an after school special.
Yeah.
I have a group of friends from college who is a predominantly gay group of men. And one of their sister's friends, I don't know what line of work she's in, but she's like 20, right? And she had the audacity the other day, she found out about PrEP, which for those of you who don't know, PrEP is something that anybody can take every day as a precaution for HIV so that you don't get it. Like you can take it as a preemptive thing. And then that way, like, if you do come in, it's like birth control almost, like in the way that you take it. It's like very much, you take it every day, it builds up in your system. And then if you come in contact with somebody with HIV, then you're protected. You're like far, 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 far. It's like the same, again, like birth control, like it's not 100% guaranteed, but it is like way, 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 way less of a chance that you will contract. And so this has been around for a while now. I'm sure you've probably seen the PrEP ads somewhere at some point. But she was told my friend's sister, she was like, yeah, like I just heard about PrEP. Like you should tell Phil about it. As if this gay man who has been closet and having sex for years doesn't know about it. But also just like
why couldn't she tell him?
Well, and that
really cool.
But also, to still have the idea that like only gay men are affected by like you could take it, girly girl. Like you should be taking it, probably. Like it's, and we're seeing it again with monkeypox. To be honest, which don't know how we feel about that name of it again, but
not my favorite.
But anyway, my friend who works for a nonprofit organization that's dedicated to helping people, like whether it's health, whatever it is, texted him while we were on vacation saying, hey, I looked up your vicinity and you could go get a monkeypox shot. Like there isn't a long line. Like you should go. And I understand that her intention was probably to be helpful, but also like, again, what? Yeah. Can you imagine?
No.
That's insane.
Blocked. My resignation. Blocked.
Right. But anyway, so tying it back to Eddie Murphy, I just think that like I saw it, like even just like when the monkeypox started happening, like
Started happening, Jamie? You mean was announced in the US?
Yeah, but no, when cases started coming up, like the fact that it like was traumatized, like I saw like people like reacting to it, and I had multiple like gay men come up to me like when I was talking to them and being like, yeah, it's like scary because people don't want to hug me now. And I was like, this is because it's like the same, they had like after you get the shot you get the welts, that like people get welts when they have the actual virus, but also it's a reaction to getting the vaccine. You like get it on your arm and like people would be like, oh my God. And then, you know, it harkens back to like lesions with AIDS. It's scary the way that people react.
I do just want to say, just factually, this has been around since like 1958.
Yeah.
It just was isolated to African countries. But now that, like, respectfully, white people are getting it in the US, true. Now it's a thing. Now it started and now there's cases.
Things only matter.
Say it disrespectfully, when, Elena.
things only matter when they happen to white people. I think right. You need to get like
get with it.
There's a whole memo we can provide you, Elena.
Yeah. So yeah, also scary. But also I think everyone's so burnt out from COVID that the guy was right. Like, yeah, we're just gonna pretend this isn't happening. There's just too many illnesses, so y'all can figure it out. And because you're having sex, like whoop, look away.
Oh, I think we should throw to an ad.
What's the ad for?
Can't wait to see what this
the ad is for. Herpes
condoms.
It's to get herpes. At this point, it's like everyone should just have herpes, you know.
Abstinence.
Oh yeah, the ad's for abstinence. Here we go. Here's an ad.
That's actually good. Welcome back to Z100 with Enya's latest hit from the 1980s health class remix. Bruh. Here we go.
Brand new banger.
What does the term AIDS stand for?
Acquired immune deficiency syndrome.
It's not going to all of a sudden just boom. This one is really controversial. You're not going to like it at all.
Killionaire. Rampage.
At your 20-year reunion from high school, they're going to be empty chairs because they will have died of AIDS. Condoms, do you think that's a good way to go?
I think this whole issue of safe sex is indeed a myth.
When you use a condom, it's like you're playing Russian roulette. There is less chance that when you pull the trigger, you're going to get a bullet in your head. But who wants to play Russian roulette with a condom? So just picture it's as if you're all crawling into one bed together.
What if I want to have sex before I get married?
Well, I guess you just have to be prepared to die. Die.
Die.
And you'll probably take with you your spouse and one or more of your children.
Triple kill.
Christians will not be exempt from this disease. They will only be exempt if they obey what the Bible says about not having sex outside of marriage.
Chill, trust.
I would rather have AIDS and have the relationship that I have with Jesus Christ than not have AIDS and not know Jesus at all.
Welcome back from that ad. Wow, what an ad.
That was great. That was awesome.
I loved it. I learned a lot. I'm going to get whatever. I'm going to get whatever that was. Great. So now that we've seen a less than satisfactory joke about STIs, let's maybe look at a good example. I think we have a joke from Ali Wong, who I love. This is from one of her specials, I believe.
Everybody has HPV, okay? Everybody has it. It's okay. Come out already. Everybody has it. If you don't have it yet, you gonna get it. You gonna get it. It's coming. You don't have HPV yet, you're a fucking loser, all right? That's what that says about you. A lot of men don't know that they have HPV because it's undetectable in men. It's really fucked up. HPV is a ghost that lives inside men's bodies and says boo in women's bodies. My doctor told me that I have one of two strains of HPV. Either I have the kind that's going to turn into cervical cancer, or I have the kind where my body will heal itself. Very helpful, this doctor, right? So basically, either I'm going to die, or you're in the presence of Wolverine, bitches.
Down. I feel like if we had comedians teach health classes in America,
so much better.
Yeah,
people would work a lot better.
To be fair, mm-hmm. I did, and maybe that's why I have.
Oh, that's right.
That's why you don't know the difference between comedian and gonorrhea.
That Joe taught that class.
My seventh or eighth grade health teacher, Joe Schiappa, shout out.
Joe Schiappa,
yeah.
Right. Who also has a podcast.
He also has a podcast that I was on. He was my health teacher, and he like is a comedian, like does improv, does stand up, and like I think just signed a deal to write a movie for either Lifetime or Hallmark. Can't tell the difference between those two things. But
is he gonna quit teaching?
He hasn't been teaching for a while. He hasn't taught in a while. But he actually, I think, still
Jamie's super old, if you haven't noticed that.
Oh yeah, okay. How old does that make you then?
Ageless, apparently.
So he also goes into companies now and I think teaches like corporate improv. Yeah, like,
hold on. I need them to come to my company because we're all way too confused as grown people.
Yeah, I know what's going on.
I wouldn't indulge it. I'm too shy at work. Do you think you'd be able to do an improv scene with your colleagues?
I get to work at a theater company, so.
Yes.
Probably.
I'd have pressure because I'm the drama teacher, so I'd be expected to be the best.
You would be, though.
I would be.
I'm confident in that.
Paul is my colleague. We do improv all the time.
Yeah, I'm sure he's a fan. So Ali Wong, that was the special Baby Cobra. Thank you, Paul.
Baby Cobra.
I think that that's a great example also because it brings personal experience to it, which I feel like people really still have a hard time talking about. Yeah.
It definitely helps such a stigma.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And it
normalizes, grounds it.
Totally. Yes. Totally.
I also thoroughly enjoyed how she was pregnant too. The power of her stance.
I know, a cute little bump.
It was
a little
great.
Waddle.
Adorable. She seemed strong.
Powerful. Fucking powerful. I love that she pointed out that men are just carrying ghosts in their bodies all the time. I feel like that's so important to know. We need to really hone in on that point in this episode that the men are spreading the cooties but don't know they have them.
I wonder what the rates of STD checks are between men and women.
Men definitely get tested less.
Wait, I want to ask a question to you guys.
Men don't get tested at all. Gay men get tested, I would imagine, but straight men, I don't think ever get tested. Unless their dick is falling off.
Before I have sex, I ask every man, when's the last time?
I was going to ask this.
But then they give me humdrum answers and then I do it anyway.
Yeah.
I was kidding.
I don't know what. So I'll be like, oh, good.
No, like, I do that too. I ask, and then it's like if they say like, "Oh, now I'm gonna get uncomfortable because my dad's here." But I will ask. Like, I will always ask. Like, when was the last time you got tested? And it's like, do I believe them if they say it was like
never
in the last
believe
six
them.
Months? I
never
believe them.
Believe them.
But then it's like
they're all lying.
You ask for receipts, but then you're a bitch. And I take that. I know that you meant to,
state idea, guys. You say, "Let's go to Planned Parenthood right now." And get tested. And then tonight, maybe we can have sex.
No, because it takes a couple days for the results.
May not apply to states that have outlawed Planned Parenthood. Texas, Florida, Oklahoma.
Okay, right. But there are other abstinent anyway. They're abstinent anyway. So don't worry about it. It never happens.
Always have sex with a condom on. Or always have sex with a condom on.
Right. Sure.
Which I do.
For the most part.
Do you guys go to the doctor and get tested, you know, just like go for a general GP checkup?
I was not raised
once a year.
So, and then,
no, because I'm poor. No one gets a fucking checkup.
Here you get measured. Sorry. I don't understand the American checkup system. I don't get what a checkup even is.
It's called a well visit. And if you do that, you're less likely to get sick.
I'm poor, really? So I don't go.
Yeah, that really. Early detection of all things is better than...
But don't you just tap your knee and do the swingy thing?
No.
And
yes.
Wait.
Your knowledge of American culture stems from the 1930s?
Okay, Evan. Sarah, when was the last time you went to the gynecologist?
Oh, I go to the gynae like twice a year.
Okay, great. So that's the answer. So you're asking the wrong questions, Evan. Here's the thing.
My mom used to call a vagina a gyne, and the gyno is the gyne.
That's kind of great.
It's all making sense now.
I will say that I have found this to be true, and I've only gotten a recent like general practice physician checkup because my mother is my mother in the last year. But I will say that most women, I would say my age, or people with vaginas my age, probably don't go to a GP. They go to a gyno maybe once a year. So like in that
but you're
sense,
still getting the same blood
also
work,
Sarah, a general a GP is a general practitioner, just so you know. It's like a we're fucking using all these acronyms. She doesn't fucking
we have GP. I have GP. Okay, I also live in America. I love to speak as if I'm a Martian, but
wait, can I just say also, for listeners who don't know, we did a live show last week, and so many people came up to me afterwards and asked if Sarah was actually British, and I was like, wow,
that's why I need to leave.
Also, way to out yourself as somebody who doesn't listen to our podcast. So many friends said that. I was like, oh, great, you're a fan. Come on.
Ouch.
Yeah, no,
well, now they're going to listen.
If I ever do stand up or something, I do think it's like the elephant in the room. I have to explain it's not a bit. Like, it's the first thing I need to say.
Also, Sarah's British in that she was also raised in the UK. I just need to like call out something for a second, because we were watching Enola Holmes 2 the other night. And Millie Bobby Brown is British, but she was also raised in Atlanta since she was like, I want to say 6. So like,
she's a pro. Wait, like Georgia? Like the South?
Yes.
Okay.
So
not British. Like, cling on to that accent.
She clung with her life.
She clinged.
Wait,
she clinged. She clung. She clinged.
I think I am a, what do they call it? I think they call it a flat earther. Anyway. Yeah. Are we riding? Say you'll never ever leave from beside me.
Does she have an accent?
No way.
IRL? Like, have you heard her talk
IRL?
In interviews, she's British, but also
is she really?
Is she though?
Her agent said really, I was gonna say gas that up. I'm trying to think of another phrase.
She's definitely going out of her way to keep it, you know? Yes. Like, she could have practiced.
She must have a vocal coach.
Yeah.
Or her parents just have really thick accents.
Well, that's probably true, you know? But also
doesn't she have friends? Even my voice, I do think, is beginning to get a twang.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you go back home and your parents are like, you sound American?
A twang of what? The other day when I was in LA and the hotel manager was speaking to my parents and I began speaking and he said, I love your little hybrid accent. And I was like, it's an insane thing to say after I've said 3 words.
I hear my parents or my mom or relatives from down in South Jersey or Philadelphia, and that's a horrific accent. And I worked really hard to get rid of it when I left home. It's atrocious.
Which one's more stigmatized, South Philly accents or STIs?
There are a lot of people who would say fast South. Come on, let's go home.
Yeah, it is pretty intense.
I gotta go to the toilet. It's terrible.
So here's the thing. We're gonna try to write a joke about some STIs. And I wanna also say, I feel like we talked about it a lot, but part of I feel like being in college too is that everyone gets some sort of sexually transmitted infection disease
in
college.
The whole point of college.
Like, it's like, if you haven't had one by the time, or if you haven't had at least a scare or somebody call you and be like, you should get tested, you're just not having
sex. I'm like, damn, guys, I guess I better fucking start getting out there in New York. I haven't had this rite of passage.
I'm just trying to make everyone feel better.
How would you react? You'd be kind of gentle.
Well, I mean, I guess.
Oh, I got the call.
Maybe I.
Oh yes, I know from him.
Maybe I don't know how I'd react, but I had a false positive for HIV, so I think you can't get any scarier than
that's
that.
True,
respectfully,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's.
I think
well
maybe
done,
I'm fine. That just happened before I was having sex, so no fun, you know.
I just want to make everybody feel better. If you have one, it's okay. You're still like fine, and we still like. There's nothing abnormal about you, you know. Feel like the need to say that sometimes because people get really I mean it's like scary for a lot of people. I feel like a lot of people like I have friends who like literally were like felt like they would never be loved if they got like
I think
herpes.
It's really scary. I deal with this though, which is like it's I have a fear and I try to get over it, but it's just what society has done, my family, everything. It's hard to like come
Paul said you're going to hell and you're dirty, so great.
Oh wait, Guys, yeah, I did have a scare. I forgot about it. I forgot about this man. Okay, see? So I've had the rite of passage.
See, there you go. No, okay. I remember the first time that I ever...
What made you remember it?
Well, I was... this is a rabbit hole of my brain. So I was thinking about my cousin, who's like...
Oh, great. That's
okay. A great place to start. Who has a sexual...
No, let me finish. Shut the fuck up. So he's like king of educating about STDs and STIs. He works with this company called Canva, and he like helps people get on PrEP and like HIV testing, blah, blah, blah. He's amazing. And I called him. I remember calling in a panic, like, this man who is a hypochondriac, like, called me about this thing. Now I'm like driving over to the urgent care to get tested and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, it's going to be fine. The first time I had blah, 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 it was blah, blah, blah. And it's okay. Like, it happens all the time. Like, no one talks about it, but I'm so glad you're driving. Like, I'll stay on the phone with you. Let me know if you have any questions, blah, blah, blah. And it was like really supportive. And so I went through that whole memory while you guys were talking about whatever the fuck you're talking about. So you're welcome for sharing that with you.
I was going to say, when I got the call, junior year, one of the two of college, it must've been junior year, actually, first semester. I was dating a girl at the time. It was like I got a text. It was a week into our relationship, and I got a call from a guy that I had hugged really closely, Dad. He called me, and he was like, hey, so I have chlamydia, you should get tested. We did use a condom, for the record, so I wasn't like terribly worried, but it was also like awkward because then I had to tell my girlfriend.
Jimmy's virtue signaling.
Yeah, I had to tell my girlfriend at the time. I was like, hey, like, I did get a call, like, wait, well, and it's also doubly awkward because it was a week into our relationship, so I was like, there was no overlap, but like, let's just, you should also get tested just in case. Didn't have it, but we both still like, that's the thing, is like, when you go to get tested and you tell them, they're just like, they just give you the medicine because they're like, you might as well just take it, like, it's not worth waiting for the results. So we both just took it anyway, but neither of us had it. But like, I'm still friends with the dude, not friends with the girl, so you know, there you go. Like, we're
all that is to say, Ali Wong was successful in saying we're all a part of this journey.
Yes,
there's nothing deviant or wrong about it. And
Eddie
said, y'all gonna die, you nasty freaks.
So let's write a joke about it. So
I'm gonna move to my seat.
Thinking writer's room.
You're in the writer's room.
Writer's room. Beep, 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 beep. So I wrote down, this like idea of clean versus dirty. I feel like a lot of the jokes, we actually didn't see one, but I have a bunch from when we were doing research for this episode, of people telling jokes about like, oh, bless you, of being like clean, or like, even the doctors will say like, yep, like, you're clean, like, like, if
and
you're,
they don't say dirty, but by correlation,
by the transitive property.
Yeah. But it's something that I think a lot of people then internalize, like this like idea of being dirty or like untouchable if you have an STI. It's like, hello. Well,
the 80s are we're never gonna recover from the 80s, guys. We just aren't. Maybe when they all die, but like, when everything in politics right now, you can trace back to the 80s where we got fucked over, and I don't know
even before that. I mean,
no, that was the big turning point. Because the 70s,
it definitely was. But even like, you can like, even there are like written documents of like syphilis being huge before that. I mean, yes, the 80s were like what we are now reacting to, but like, STIs have always been drama, you know? Like, syphilis was like huge.
Well, people just died
and like wouldn't get help because,
well, there was no help.
There was
medicine hadn't developed enough for cures yet, so like, I'm just saying,
sorry, I literally was a dog in that moment, but there was a squirrel like right outside my window and I had to talk about it. No, yes, there wasn't help the way that there is now, but like, also people like were scared of people with syphilis because they like looked weird. because they like had.
Well, also it was like a big. It's totally syphilis? Different though. I don't it's even so. Know the
symptoms. That's the one. Syphilis was the one that gave people craziness or like Looney Tunes. Yeah. Like they like lost their marbles. Hitler had it. Mussolini had it. It really ran in like the dictatorship worlds for a while.
Oh my god! So that victims.
Yeah, the takeaway is that maybe if people had just been a little bit like less stigmatizing about syphilis, Hitler would have been like really chill, you know. That's the takeaway.
Yeah,
well, I'm gonna write one about syphilis in Mussolini and Hitler, and I think there are other also tyrannical leaders.
I'll do a quick little Google.
Yeah, famous famous genocidal leaders with syphilis. Famous people, maybe historical figures. That's the word I was looking for, with syphilis. I think we should come up with better names for, maybe this is my joke. I think every STI should have a fun slang term. And then I feel like people would be less stigmatized. Like if you got to call it like,
oh, I love that.
If you got to call it like glitter cooch, like then people would be like, yeah, you got that glitter cooch? Yeah, I got that glitter cooch.
Oh my god, I love that.
Instead glitter of like, cooch. You have chlamydia, it's glitter cooch. Glitter cooch.
Like suit each one.
Yeah. Well, because one of them is called crabs, which is not fun.
No.
Is that?
Yeah, but we could crab is genital lice. No. Hold on, Jamie. Crabs is genital lice. It's pubic lice.
Yeah, but what's the medical term? Like, there's a name.
Pubic lice is crabs.
No, but there's like a word, like a one word for it, I think.
I've never heard
crabs,
it.
Crabs, STD.
I swear if you just crab say lice, pubes, then they go away.
Well, it's like when you have lice, like it's a topical medication. You just have to kill the bug.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have like a medical term.
That's probably the scariest one to me.
Yeah, one gives me the heebie-jeebies.
I kill like, that one. I would just
that's think, the one like, you're
my head.
Showing?
If I had lice, I'm obviously not going to shave my whole fucking head, but like my little poos?
No. But it's like, it's more that there are like living creatures. Like, I don't want one going in me. I don't want.
Right. Well, technically, a virus is also a living thing. We just think of it a little.
It doesn't have the ability.
The ones from my head could have crawled down. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not scared of that one.
It's
I,
not that
I
I'm
think it makes my
it.
Skin
it's
crawl
just
more
makes
because
me
it's
physically.
Bugs.
Yeah.
That's... I can easily rank my favorite from best to worst.
That should be your joke.
I don't want to make people feel bad, but it's like very easy for me.
Yeah.
I think it's a personal preference. Like everybody's different, right? Everyone like I would favorite. Rather have I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if that's
we can
a good
all agree
joke.
On the one that we wanna have, right? Three, two, one.
Chlamydia,
right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That one's super fun.
That one's soup's easy. That's the one that I got the call about. Yeah.
Yeah. I take that like easy.
I've gotten two calls about that one. And
well, it
you probably
like, really
I probably
fast.
Had it the second time too. Like if we're being quite frank, I just didn't bother to wait for the results. I just took the medicine. I did get tested later, obviously, to confirm that I didn't have it, but that
you're
was
clean.
After that
you're
I'm
clean
that I'm clean that I'm clean I'm clean please still have sex with me, like that's the vibe I feel like every time somebody talks about I mean, like every time somebody talks about having like an STI I feel
tested.
Like they have to be like I'm clean like and that comes back to like the stigma right like I yeah. like please still have sex with me like like it's fine like people will have sex with you people this is what people don't realize is like your friend, right? Your friend couldn't even wait 5 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. People will
have sex.
Fuck, they will fuck.
Well, they will fuck. And it's fine.
True.
But yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not me though anymore.
Wait,
I'm
can I just
that
say,
much.
Currently, the only thing that I have written down is the word syphilis. So
I saw that.
I should probably write a joke. Okay, ready? Go.
Who wants to play Russian roulette with a condom? So just picture it's as if you're all crawling into one bed together.
Okay, do we have a joke?
Yeah, I have mine, I think.
Hi, Evan. Sorry, we got carried away talking about other things. This was a fun writer's room.
It was fun.
Okay, so here's the link to the doc.
The doc.
Hurry, I gotta pee.
Now you're gonna get a yeast infection.
That would
not
be
how
UTI.
You get a yeast infection.
It's not? It'll
be UTI.
If UTI, you hold your pee, sorry. It's UTI. We don't want to stigmatize STIs, especially because they used to be called STDs. We want people to get tested, get comfortable. So maybe the way to discuss this is to name famous celebs who have had STIs through the years to normalize things, to show we're in good company. So here's a list of historical figures that I've compiled who had STIs, starting with syphilis. There's Al Capone. He was super smart, knew how to do his own taxes. Van Gogh. He was a great artist who maybe not so good at haircuts. And Hitler. I'm not saying that the stigma around syphilis caused the Holocaust, but I'm not saying that it didn't.
Oh, love it. Okay. Well, there you have it. Some jokes about STIs. Take them, you know, to your next checkup and see if you can make your doctor laugh. I don't know.
Or use them as foreplay.
Yeah. Like, there you go. You know what? I feel like here's the main takeaway. If you can prove to somebody that you've listened to this episode of Cancel Culture, I think they might trust that you've been tested. You know, I think that's the true. And you know what? You're welcome for that. You're welcome.
This podcast will definitely get you laid.
If you told me you listened to this podcast, it would definitely get you laid.
Since doing this podcast, I get laid less.
Right.
Off the record.
But that's okay. My doing.
That's your journey. That's not my journey. If you think we did a good job with this, then, you know, let us know. If you think that we didn't write a successful joke, then you should write one and send it to us and we'll judge you for it. And until next time, this has in fact been Cancel Culture.
What if I want to have sex before I get married?
Well, I guess you just have to be prepared to die. Die.